The Holy Spirit was a great next moment in the history of our faith. When Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples did not immediately go out and do ministry. You know that, right? Keep that in mind. Think about it like this. When you're watching a TV show, that one of your favorite shows, they're in the middle of some good drama and suspense, and you're excited. Your palms get sweaty. Your emotions are high, and you're excited because you want to know what's going to happen next. But just when the suspense is coming, they throw a curveball to be continued next week. You get frustrated. You throw a pillow at the television because you want to know what's going to happen. You want to know the climax. You want to know the conclusion. But you got to wait 7 days. The disciples had to wait before they started their ministry. They were told by Christ, he says, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. In other words, to be continued. And in Acts 2, it did. In a great way. The Spirit came down on those first believers, filled them. The promise from on high, it came. And that same Spirit that came in Acts 2 lives in every believer that's here this morning. But do you believe it? That same Spirit, that same power dwells in all of us in 2012. I think most of us, including myself, think very little of the Spirit. Very little of Him. Have a tendency to live a spiritless life. We sometimes give lip service to what it means to walk by the Spirit. So this morning, we're going to be refreshed about it. We're going to be reminded of it. And Paul does it for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're actually going to be looking at verses 10 through 16. Will you please stand as I read God's word? These things has been revealed to us through the Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths for those who are spiritual. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. For he is unable to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Please pray with me and for me. Father, as we come to your truth, this is your truth, not mine. I am just a man. That's all I'm ever going to be. My words changes no one's heart. Your Spirit has to take what is preached and apply it to my heart and apply it to the hearts of everyone here. You know what we need to hear. You know what every person here is dealing with. So Spirit, we need you to move, to take God's word and apply it to our very hearts this morning. We beg of you to do that for the glory of Christ. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. The first thing Paul shows us here is that the Spirit is the one who searches the things of God. It's the Spirit's work to do that. It's his job to search everything, even the depths of God, Paul says here. And this searching by the Spirit is a never-ending searching. Everything means everything. Nothing escapes him. Nothing is hidden from his sight. One Christian said about this, the Spirit searches all things, which means not that he conducts searches in view of obtaining knowledge and information, but he penetrates all things. There is nothing beyond his knowledge. The Spirit penetrates all things. Nothing is hidden from His knowledge. And just in this one verse, you can see just how vital the Spirit is. He penetrates all things, the deep things of God. Keep in mind, He's part of the Godhead, right? He's part of the Trinity. Three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And these three are one God, same in substance, equal in power and glory. So it's fitting that the Spirit can search the deep things of God. He's part of the Godhead. He understands it. He comprehends these things. And Paul's analogy in verse 11 makes it clear. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For me, this is quite humbling and also convicting, because no one here is not just referring to non-Christians, referring to us as well. Every person here, that's what this is referring to. A Christian theologian says, Paul is explaining that the human mind is able to know the things concerning man, but not the things concerning God. We are infinite. We are finite, in our minds. And we cannot comprehend the thoughts of an infinite being. Only the Spirit can do that. He has the power to do that, not us. It's like a little mouse trying to take down an elephant in a wrestling match. Is that possible? Who would win that match? Well, maybe the mouse is confident, Alex. Maybe he's confident. Maybe he has the best training. Maybe he went to the right school and he studied elephantology at this particular school, the right particular school. So he comes out and he's well prepared. And so he knows more about the elephant than he ever did before. Will he ever take the elephant down? Will he ever be able to comprehend it? No. In case you don't realize it, we're the mouse. All the pastors and theologians that you read, idolize, past, present, or future, are mouses when it comes to understanding the deep things of God. Do you think those pastors, including myself, and theologians, got all that understanding and insight because we're smart? Because we went to some particular school or a higher education, or we got a title in front of our name, or the books that we read, or because we belong to a particular theological tradition? If this is what we believe, if this is what we practice, then this is what we have: a spiritless faith. We have a faith that rests on the wisdom of men and not in the power of God. And there's a big difference. You see, the Spirit not only comprehends and understands the thoughts of God, but He also gives us understanding of those things to you as well. That's what Paul says in verse 12. The Spirit does it. He says, we have not received the spirit of this world. What does that mean? What does Paul mean by spirit of this world? Based upon our context, he's talking about the wisdom of the world, human wisdom. As one Christian said, the spirit of this world is a spirit that makes the world secular. The world that's in opposition to our God, His word, and His kingdom. It's a spirit of the world that creates ways to be independent from God the Father. And Paul says that this type of man, he's natural. He's unsaved, and he cannot accept the things of God's Spirit, for the things of God's Spirit are folly to him, and he is unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, the natural person, the unsaved person, he operates out of the spirit of the world, not the Spirit of God. And human wisdom, I don't care how smart a person is, will never lead a person to accept the things of God. They're going to always be folly. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. That's why. It means unspiritual person does not have the spiritual discernment to understand the things of God. They don't have God's Spirit in them. You understand? They don't have the Spirit living in them. They don't have the Spirit that came at Pentecost. He doesn't live there. And so they're not being guided by him. As believers, when you engage a person who is not a Christian and we're about the gospel, realize there's a veil over that person's eyes. And if the Spirit ain't moving, nothing you say is going to ever make sense. I don't care how many apologetic books you read. If the Spirit ain't moving, ain't nothing happening. I mean, that's the bottom line. If he ain't moving, if he ain't working in that person's heart, nothing is going to happen. I don't care how much training you got or how much you know. If the Spirit of God doesn't move, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. Human wisdom would never lead a person to embrace the gospel and saving faith. It takes the Spirit. But Christians, you who know Christ, you have a different type of spirit inside of you. The Spirit who is from God. And that's no small thing. That's just not empty words. That's power. Because you know what? No one else in the world has that but you. No one but you. The Spirit who is from God is a person, not an it. The Spirit who is from God is part of the Godhead. The Spirit who is from God lives in every believer as a gift. And all believers have been sealed with him. He is a guarantee of your inheritance until you take possession of it. And all believers, because of the Spirit, are spiritually alive now. Because God's Spirit brought life to your heart of stone that allow you to choose Christ in saving faith. And what is that? That's regeneration. For those of you who are theologically minded, that's what that is. The Spirit regenerated your dead heart. And so you chose Christ in saving faith. And his work does not end after salvation, but it continues in you. It helps you understand the things that the Father has given to you. That we may understand those things freely given to us by the Father. And apart from the work of the Spirit, there is no understanding. There is no growth in grace. The Spirit is not wooing your heart more Godward. Those pastors, those theologians we read and love to read about and listen to, they gain the understanding of the gospel and theology because the Spirit is at work in them. He's at work in their lives. And the same applies to us this morning. But do we operate our lives that way? Do we operate our marriages that way? Our churches that way? Do we raise our kids that way? We often operate off worldly wisdom more than we realize. If my child just went to that school, then everything would be perfect in my life. If we just had this ministry strategy, then they would come. If I just read one more Tim Keller book, then my life would just be where I need it to be. If we do this, our church would grow. If we just had this type of program, if I just had that job, if I lived in that neighborhood, if I went to that school, what do those statements reveal about your heart? A spiritless approach to life. We want to take the supernatural work of the Spirit out of our faith. Our faith is highly supernatural. Do you realize that? It's supernatural. You can't take it out. When Paul said the Spirit lives in you, that's supernatural. And we want to take it out of our faith. We want to be able to understand everything. Jesus said in John 6:68, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. That's the words of Jesus. The Spirit is the one who gives life. Not me, not you, the Spirit. The flesh is no help at all. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Spirit works through the Word and alongside the Word in this life. He is the helper. He is the counselor. He is the one who convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He glorifies Christ, the Spirit of truth, who leads you in truth, helps you in your weakness, helps you pray when you don't even have the words to pray. The spirit of our adoption. And how often do you sense that power in your life? How often do you pray to him? Do you ever ask the Father to make you more sensitive to the Spirit's leading? How often, elders, deacons, do y'all cry out to the Spirit's guidance as y'all leave this church? How often, members, do you cry out to the Spirit to be over your officers if they lead and guide you? Or is the Spirit just an afterthought to your life? How often do you go to the Wednesdays and Saturdays prayer meetings? Well, I read your website. Every church I preach at, I read their website to see what they say they're about. And I use it against them in my sermon. So how often do you go to those meetings and pray? Paul says here, God has given us a spirit that we might understand the things freely given to us. And what are those things given to us? What are those things that God has revealed? It's the gospel, the secret knowledge of God that has been hidden from all generations but revealed through the apostles, through Christ, the cross. That's what he's talking about. Salvation, eternal life, regeneration, justification, sanctification. All those terms, however you want to phrase them, are the things that have been given to us freely. And the Spirit is the one that helps you understand them. Now, we say things like, just preach the gospel to yourself. That's fine. But are you praying that the Spirit would move your heart toward the gospel? That's what we need to pray. Is the Spirit moving my heart toward the gospel? Is the Spirit moving my heart more toward Christ? We say, rest in God's grace. Rest in the finished work of Christ for you. You can't do that if the Spirit doesn't move your heart. It's just words. Have you cried out to the Spirit, move my heart more toward his grace, to rest in it? Because if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Supernatural, he has to move you. What are you asking him to? You see, we, as believers, we have many benefits and blessings that the Father has given us as Christians, right? Many blessings. But our enjoyment of them, our understanding of them, and our resting in them only comes to us through the effectual work and power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way we're going to rest in them. He has to do it in us. The Spirit of God is at work, giving us understanding of our faith. But when he gives us understanding, he also empowers us to act upon those things that we understand, to move out. He empowers us not to understand these spiritual things, but he also empowers us to live them out. He guides us. He guides us and he to examine all the things through God's word. In verse 15, look at what Paul says in verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is to be judged by no one. What does that mean? A writer says, Paul says that the spiritual man judges all things. By implication, this person receives the guidance of the Holy Spirit and uses the scriptures as a compass for his life. That's what that means. He gives me understanding, and he empowers me to use this is the compass for my life, for my marriage, for my kids, for the way I view everything around me. This sets the stage for every believer. His word. He empowers us to use the word as a lamp to our feet, light to our path, and a lamp before our feet. That's what he does. The Spirit also empowers us to see life through the eyes of Christ. Paul says here, we have the mind of Christ. You think you have that just because you can work your way up to it? The Spirit has to do that in you. And when that happens, you begin to see the world the way he sees the world. The song we just sung about. We get to love people the way he loves people. And that's all because the Spirit is empowering you to do that. He penetrates all things. He gives understanding. He empowers us. Listen to what one Christian theologian said about the Christian life. This is the how, and there is no other. It is the power of the crucified, risen, glorified Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit by faith. That's how we live the Christian life. This is the how, and there is no other. It is the power of the crucified, risen, glorified Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit by faith. That's it. That's the Christian life. Now, does that mean we're just passive and frozen? No. It means we live out our responsibilities out of the power of the Spirit. Walking by him, seeking direction and guidance and empowerment from him. And I believe it starts on our knees. That's where it starts. I'm not calling you to be capable enough to pray. I'm asking, are you really desperate enough? Or are you feel like you're capable Christians? So you need less prayer. I need less of the Spirit. But are you desperate enough? Oak Mountain Presbyterian Church, are you desperate enough? Spirit gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Pray the Spirit will move you. Pray the Spirit will call more non-believers into this church through your ministry. Cry out to him, pour out to him, that he will pour out his power like a drink offering in this community, in your neighborhood, that he will create revival, that he will do in you what you cannot do in yourself. What would it look like in this church for each of you to be empowered by the Spirit? You know what it looked like? You know what it looked like? Those three S's I read on your website last night, they would not just be verbs to post up on signs throughout your church. It would be a reality for your life. Because if it ain't a reality for your life individually, those are just empty words. If you ain't living it, are you living it? What are those S's? You know them? Well, you can't live them if you don't know them. What are they? You will seek grace from God. You will show grace in community. And you will share grace to all. That would look like for this particular church. If you were being empowered by the Spirit, those things would be a reality for your life. Not just for your pastor and your elders, but for each and every one of you. To me, for that church, this church, that's what it will look like. To be empowered by the Spirit in your church. Please pray with me. Father God, you are the one who went to Calvary for your people. Not me. Nor any other man. But it was Jesus. He took the fall. He took the nails for our sin. And because of him, we have what we have. And then when he ascended, he didn't leave us as orphans. But he gave us his Spirit who lives in us. And I pray, Spirit, that you would make bend our hearts more toward Christ, more toward his word. That through your power, we will rest in grace. And through your power, we will live out our faith to do what we cannot do in our own power, to be a living example of Christ in this community. That you got to be out before us, working in the hearts of men and women who don't know you. And you will use us to advance the kingdom. We pray that you do all that in the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.